You're listening to Sports and Life with Tamron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, as they say in Hollywood, you got to hit those buttons.
Yeah.
My button's bigger than your button, and we're going to hit your button, and it's going to work. Right? Something like that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. I love that one. That was pretty funny. And then he may have said it so that he would understand, and he made it very clear, and he understood.
Well,
we're waiting for China to, you know, China's going in. They're the only ones that are going to do anything with that man.
He's not going to go to North Korea. No way. No way.
China?
No. Our president.
Oh, yeah, that'll agree with you.
You know what the problem is? You're dealing with a situation that he makes it bigger than it is. Just peace. Let all we are saying. Give peace a chance.
Well, the patriarchy has made it so that it's a difficult thing. So now we're trying to do the transition over, and hopefully we will get there. But we're in the chaos. You know, listen, I put this on Obama. He ran around putting all those posters up saying change. Change brings chaos. They brings all kinds of weird, wacky stuff. So we're just going through the change to get to the other side. And then peace perhaps will be on the other side.
Well,
that's what I'm looking for.
You know what? It was funny.
I don't know which leader, world leader, will be the strong point.
Which world leader likes Trump? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's like a puzzle.
Well, it's better than what they were saying about Obama.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. As long as you don't tell him to do a lot of things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what they said about Trump?
What?
They said, picture a child, and you tell the child, don't. Tell anything bad about your neighbor. Don't do this. And he does it. He does the thing.
Does it anyway.
So we'll see. We'll see. I want this to be the most productive 2018, don't you?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I don't want
moving more. Forward. Let's move forward.
Yeah, move forward. LA Talk Radio.
Well, the other thing you know we have to watch out for is over by Kashmir, the whole Pakistani.
Yeah.
Hindi
well, they
border.
Love each other in Kashmir. And,
oh, dear
and
God.
But you know what?
Atomic weapons.
Well, I heard a rumor that she better not go near a certain country. She may
Nikki.
Be, bye-bye. That's all
what,
I heard.
What country?
Anywhere in Asia.
Why? Anywhere what did Asia? She say?
Because some people don't like you. I don't know.
Well, a lot of people don't like people. I mean, I worked for years for LAUSD with people that didn't like me.
Anyway, let me do my preamble.
I was too smart for them.
Right? In radio, you got to do a preamble.
Okay.
We the Republic, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this will be my ninth year on LA Talk Radio.
Yay!
And then on
you
BBS,
are good.
We've been on for a year. That's our local affiliate, and we're going to add a few more to our dossier. You know how you have to affiliate.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to get with the BBC America, trying to get that done.
You're a very busy man.
But you know what it is? What's fun is when people from the Bay Area write you who don't know you.
Oh, send you.
Your show is funny. So I said, We try. But anyway, we're on the Bay Area on BBS Radio, and I'll give my buddy Donald Newsom. Program manager there. We're going to do our PR tour soon out there. We're going to do it soon. And then one other thing. We provide laughter, fun, no conclusion. There's never a conclusion on my show. Never. But we do that. We have excitement, a journey. Of course, we talk about UFOs. In fact, there was one we're going to mention in Corona Del Mar.
Oh, nice.
There was a sighting. And also a journey. What we're going to be doing this year, what we haven't done, is we're going to go to Sedona. And we have not done that. We're going to go to Sedona. We're not going to go to LA Consciousness. Waste of money. Waste of time. Waste of people. The same people you're going to see if you do Contact in the Desert. And Contact in the Desert, they're having it where? In Indio?
Someplace, yeah.
Yeah,
and at a resort.
$300 a day in Indio. You got to be nuts. I'd rather go to Tijuana. And I could spend half of that money and have fun. But you know what they're doing? They're taking reservations. We ain't doing that. We are going to do Sedona. We're going to do the MUFON convention in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And maybe you want to go. That'll be a one, and you'll go.
Yes.
And we'll go. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be very much, a lot of people know about our show. And then we're going to meet my buddy from MUFON Radio, gentleman I met, he liked me. He wants to hire me every time because I want to give you a station. But what I want to do if I was on MUFON Radio, talk about conspiracy. That's all. Conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. And also I want to give a shout out for, I met with Art Bell.
Oh.
I can't say where we met him, but we met Art Bell. Art Bell's around.
He's still around.
Networks are not going to give him a chance. He blew it with XM.
Hmm.
Yeah, he did something stupid, which they all do on radio, as you know, with men. They do stupid things. And then we met with a guy named Richard Corey. And Richard Corey wrote books about UFO phenomena. So he's going to come on our show soon. We're going to get him on. And also, we're going to do a lot more sightings. We're supposed to have Ken Pfeiffer on.
Oh, good. Ken, we haven't heard from Ken in a while.
He's a MUFON researcher, VP, and he'll tell you about the back east. And he'll tell us about his thing.
And other countries.
Yeah. Also, he covers Portugal, China, and I don't know how he has time. I don't have the time, you know, you're right about all this country. And then we're going to go to Tula, New Mexico, because Tula is where they have the human factories, where they take human bodies and make them into something else. In New Mexico, it's scary.
Well, Soylent Green, are you talking about?
I'm talking about a whole transformation. And no extra charges apply. Anyway, that's what's going on.
That's scary to me.
We're
going
to go to Tula. This year. Tula is going to Tula.
I'm right doing my will before you know, we go
funny?
To Tula.
They have the place where they do all this stuff, they have a casino, okay, across the street. And the funny part is the Indians of this casino see so much activity going on.
That UFO activity?
UFO. And okay. also they have rays. The tall grays.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to visit them. And the guy goes, now, what do you do here? He goes, we're a camping resort. So they would go in, look around the place, and then leave. I go, that's not a good customer. You want to stay and gamble, right? You got to stay and gamble.
The grays, they don't stay long. One showed up in my apartment one day. I smiled and thought, what a sweet face. Large gray head, but a very sweet face, actually. And I had something in my hand, so I put it in another room. I came back. They left. I was like, why? I had to put something away. Come on. Stay here and let's talk.
Did they at least bring you apple pie?
No. And you know.
Apple pie.
I said that to them one time when the guys all came through one of the portals. I said, what? No pink box? You're coming to visit. Bring some.
Getting cheap up there. One day we saw, when I did the show here, we had a UFO come by the building.
And oh, that's always fun.
And we also had our sound go off.
Mm.
That was scary.
Oh, that was fun. That happened to us. There was something.
Yeah, I told you. They come visit me.
Yeah.
They come visit both of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to call our show, we got a nice letter from Uganda.
From Uganda?
Lady, listen to us from Uganda. You're calling from Uganda. 323-203-0815. And then someone called, you know what's funny, we got a call from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was talking about, in Cincinnati, there's a barren land where UFOs live. That's a new area now. That's a new...
In Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Well, what was it?
The best,
center of the
German
universe?
German hot dogs in the world. Anyway, they call us at 323-203-0815. Our email is cdatzker@yahoo.com. cdatzker@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter, Instagram. We're going to be some other stuff. I'm telling you, when you give out all that, it's like, that's your whole show for the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk about some news. Quick news.
What's the news?
A shivering back east. Cold
snap.
Oh,
yeah.
So anyway, the Arctic blast forecast to mountain, it's got its key grip into the weekend and has been linked to 19 deaths. That's what you don't want to hear. When people die from this horrible thing. Anyway, North America's East Coast is shivering in a record-breaking freeze just a day after a deadly bomb cyclone. Well, you know what a bomb cyclone is, right?
Yeah, a bomb cyclone?
You know what that means?
No.
We'll have to explain.
Bomb cyclone
is when the, you're talking about ice and everything.
Oh.
The ice goes all over, and it's like a bomb.
Oh, it gets sucked. That cold ice gets sucked into the tornado. And then spread out.
Tornadoes and also cylinders, like, oh, this looks like a bomb.
I never experienced that back
then. See, you have to explain to your audience what you do.
Yeah.
Anyway, it dumps snow as far as Florida.
Yes, I saw pictures of people down south on the news.
Can you imagine the old people in Florida going, I didn't pay for this. What happened?
You got it for free. Yeah, here, it's a special deal for you for this winter holiday.
That's right. What is the thing? In Canada, their temperatures are also cold.
Oh, I would think
I have
so.
I have friends in Calgary, Montreal, Vancouver, and they've been telling me the weather's been very cold.
Well, it's a El Niño. That's what the weather scientist said. Yeah, we're having another El Niño. Yeah, okay, so that's why they get cold, they get dry.
El Niño, what do they do?
El Niño gets more rain, I think.
Anyway, Canada, they have high winds, have knocked out power for tens of thousands of residents in Nova Scotia. Have you been to Nova Scotia?
I've never had the privilege of going to Nova Scotia.
What are they famous for? Locks. That's what I was about to say. Salmon. They're very famous.
Salmon. Yeah, locks.
See, we educate
you.
There we go. Yeah. Nova Scotia locks. That's what you wanted to get in the deli.
No, it was locks.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, Tillerson defends Trump's mental health, you know, because we've talked about it earlier. This comes after the author of a new book, which I haven't got. I want to get that book.
Go.
Well, I'll probably get it soon or get it sent to me.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
The U.S. president said his staff saw him as a child. Well, what can I tell you? Things happen in, you know.
Yeah, people behave the way they behave.
Yeah. So,
and just because it seems like they're being nice and lovely does not mean that those people were being nice and lovely either, you know.
Right. Well,
it's a different it's a different reality. That level of government's a different reality.
But what I'm trying to say is when you talk about Trump, what you find with him is two sides. Because you see him being a charismatic person,
right,
and then you see another side, very tired, very out of it, very out of focus, and I think something's going to come up soon.
Yeah,
they're not going to allow, especially our country. We want a president with it, not without it. You know.
Well, we haven't had one of those for quite a while.
And also, I was surprised that the FBI reopened the Clinton Foundation inquiry. I think they're after Hillary. Agents from Little Rock, Arkansas, reportedly spoke to at least one witness in the last month. This is what I say. Waste of money. That's my answer.
Well, she needs to pay the price for what she did in Benghazi. Karma catches up. It's not, we can say what we want to say.
Yeah.
But karma's going to catch up with Trump. Karma will catch up with the Clintons. Karma will catch up with the Obamas. It catches up with everybody.
Okay. Karma is your best friend.
Karma's catching up
with
everybody.
So anyway, the debate, like they said, about his mental health, and people have talked about it. We talked about it earlier. And they had a famous psychiatrist on, and he says that people go through this thing in their 70s, 80s, and he says not a good thing. He was on, I want to say, CNN. I've been listening to all the broadcasts. I've been... very fair.
Well, this gives us something to look forward to.
BBC
in our own ages.
The best broadcast, BBC.
Oh, yeah.
BBC is the most interesting broadcast. And other things going on in this wonderful world, what we're going to talk about is, first of all, we got to get your play in, right? You got to run. So tell us, now introduce yourself to my audience.
Sure. Hi, my name is Kurt Kanazawa.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome.
Okay, Kurt.
Cameron Sports and Life, LA Talk Radio on this 2018
yes.
year. Tell about your play.
Of course. This play is called Nothing is the Same. It takes place in Hawaii in 1941, and it is a play about four 11-year-olds who are playing marbles in a churchyard. And there are four Asian Americans, so one is Japanese, one is Filipino, and two Koreans. And they're playing marbles seconds before the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
So the Japanese boy, who I play, Mitz, goes from being the most popular kid to being a suspected spy amongst his friends.
Oh, those A's.
Mm. And a lot of it is a play that was, it's an award-winning play from the Hawaii Governor's Award, and it is written for children. However, it's fascinating to see how children are like Teflon. So they're stronger mm-hmm. almost than adults. And so the yeah. way that they deal with crises, they deal with trauma, they deal with how their parents speak to them is very, it's a very mature almost. And yet,
well, they can process through it faster.
Exactly.
Adults like hold on to stuff.
Yes.
We deliberately hold on. Yeah, but I taught 16 years at LAUSD. No, kids go through emotions. They can change and go through them very fast.
Right.
That's why it's very important. And unfortunately, a lot of parents are not letting their children have emotional experiences as small children. Mm. So that they can develop empathy from it, too. Mm, even absolutely. Though you go process it quickly, you develop empathy.
And empathy is a really big thing about this production.
Now tell us about, so you have a play.
Yes.
Talks about, you know, World War II. Talks about 11-year-olds.
Exactly. And it's told through a lot of humor. It is a historical drama, but there's a lot of humor. And it uses the pidgin dialect in Hawaiian. So it's
pidgin
English. And so we talk all kind of like, oh, what you got over there? I got one big kind plan on this desk. You know, you talk about, it's a very different kind of Creole.
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother. When say something to me. No, so it's all this sort of, it's very heightened. It's very fun. So it'll take about 5 minutes for you to understand.
Start,
you have that to it. Because certain areas, there's a slang.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a dialect. Is it a dialect?
And it's actually now a language. It is recognized as the second language of, the third language of Hawaii. So
you have to get an expert on it.
I'm from
that. So tell us, so the play, as you say, is in Hawaii. Now, World War II was a very painful one because you had Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. A lot of men were lost. Mm-hmm. And 3,000 you know, the area called the Punch Bowl.
Exactly.
Area over there. So now, you're talking about issues of emotion, talking about death, talking about the World War II.
All through the perspective of children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, how do they get out of that emotion of, you know, some kids they get nervous and frightened.
There's very different. I mean, from the Mitt's perspective, he obviously is very loved by everybody, and then suddenly becomes isolated. So and Hawaii at this point, there's a lot of Japanese that are living in Hawaii, and they consider themselves more Hawaiian than they consider themselves Japanese.
Right.
And actually, a lot of the internment, most of the Hawaiians were not interned, the Japanese Hawaiians. There were about 2,000 that were sent to the mainland. But there was a totally different dynamic there because basically somebody who was your neighbor, all of a sudden with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, became your enemy. But
it wasn't, you weren't sure.
More of an isolation. So a lot of stories about mothers who suddenly their friends would just start crossing the street when they would come near with their children, or just little things like that that isolate you.
What about the discrimination of the Japanese?
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. Because
that was big, because in those days, if a Japanese person talked to you, put in jail.
Right. So there were...
Manzanar.
There was curfews, yeah. In the mainland, it was much stricter, actually. Here, there's a lot of terrible stories about people who would lose everything. There was a story I remember of a woman in San Francisco who they knew that they were going to go to a concentration camp, so they had to sell everything. And somebody would come into the house and they'd say, "How much is this plate?" And she'd say, "Oh, I don't know. What can you give me? $1?" And she goes, "I'm giving you nothing," and started breaking plates in front of her.
Right. Oh, how horrible!
These are stories that people really lived here in the main, and terrifying for children to hear.
For people have to see your play, go to Manzanar.
Yes,
make a visit.
Well, there's just the gates now.
In fact, what you do? No, it's a whole thing when you go. You feel that energy of what the people went through, and I've had a lot of Japanese women that I was in religious groups and they said, "You got to go to Manzanar to really feel that time." And Manzanar, by the way, is up in like a mid-California.
Owens Valley? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it Owens Valley?
Owens Valley.
Yeah, because I've been
up there, and also Arizona.
And also in Texas.
Nevada.
Actually, my grandmother has a very specific history that she's a Japanese woman born in Kamuela, which is in the Big Island of Hawaii.
Right.
And when the war hit, after 2 months, the Swedish consulate was actually looking for somebody to be a liaison between the Japanese internees, the civilian population, and the government. So they found looking for someone with a Red Cross heart.
Right.
And somebody recommended Shimeji Kanazawa, who's my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Her responsibility was to escort people who were about to be interned to the mainland.
Right.
So they had to take ships from Honolulu to Texas. And these are ships that were not protected, no escorts. So really? You're crossing Pacific Ocean with Japanese on your ship. And she had to deal with things. It was also very, very small things. Like, for example, a husband would be put into a internment camp, and the wife suddenly had to make a living for her family. Right. So grandmother would find a job for these women, or she would find support for them as well. And so a lot of it was spending her own money and trying to help the civilian population of Japanese. Right. And that, because the Swedish consulate was neutral. And mm-hmm. something I love about her legacy is when she went to Texas, the war with Japan, the theater closed. And that was the only time that she ever felt that there was danger, because the general said, you can't leave the base right now. But after that, and to thank her for all the work that she did for the Japanese and for helping the generals in America, they took her on a tour around the United States. Oh. And she was going around to all these areas trying to... I can't even imagine what this tour would be like. But there was one woman on a train who came up to my grandmother and said, who are you? Are you Chiang Kai-shek? And she goes, Chiang Kai-shek?
Chiang Kai-shek.
No. Wow. You know, this is a Japanese, free-moving Japanese woman in the United States. She's probably the first as I've seen.
Well, they hear
and
the name.
She goes, Chiang Kai-shek? She said, I've been confused for Hata Hari before, but never Chiang Kai-shek. And the woman said, no, you walk with your chin held high. Who are you? And and that's something about Hawaii... Japanese, that there's a little bit, there wasn't a, it was a different psychological thing that they went through, because nobody there is in the majority.
Right.
You know, nobody, no race, and racism there is so different. It's so.
Well, you don't have what you had in the Midwest, you had the South, you had in Nevada, where the Japanese were targeted, California.
It was
all different situation, but then. Now tell us.
So a lot of what the children are hearing are that reports over the radio from the mainland and being terrified, and so the kids are basically absorbing information from adults and using those prejudices, unknowing, like they don't even realize it sometimes.
Yeah, because they think the adults have the truth or whatever.
Exactly.
And the other thing that nobody actually talks about is the internment of the Italians and the Germans in this country.
Exactly.
Nobody ever talks about that.
There are about 300 Germans and a few, 70 Italians from the Hawaiian Islands are also.
To a sense, also, yeah. But here in this country, a lot of them are rounded up, especially after that whole Bone House movement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you don't hear about, because there hasn't been a lot of, that's where you got to get books out.
Well, the surprising, the surprising thing that we started to talk about too in this production, some people had never learned about this in school. Never. Japanese internment is something that some people thought was fiction. I mean, this is, from another production, at a certain callback of another production, there were people who thought that this was fiction, false history, being invented.
There is so much history that is not taught anymore. I learned this as a child in school. Mm-hmm. But contemporary, they're not teaching a lot of the history. They don't teach about white slaves that were brought over. In fact, there's a big dilemma going on. Or a controversy that there may have actually been more white people as slaves in the United States than there were black people. So there's all of that that's going on in the internments. But the one thing I heard from a gal who was interned, she was one of my neighbors downtown, she said that the U.S. government supported the women and children in Manzanar and the other camps to stay there once the war ended, while the husbands went out to get houses, get jobs, and get resettled. So they took care of them all there. They allowed them to stay, and they fed and had all of that, even though it was, aesthetically, it was a boring place. But nevertheless, so is a lot of our elementary schools today. But, and she said during the day, the kids would go through the fence and go up into the mountains and play, and the guards knew they were up there and they didn't care. They let the kids go run and have a good time.
It's fascinating how,
because in a sense,
you learn to live too.
You have to adjust. And
there's actually a beautiful mural.
Anyway, we got to move it along.
There's a beautiful mural up at the Japanese American National Museum right now about internment art. All about internment art. That was internment art. So art that was made during Japanese internment.
By the way, they were first to talk about the Armenian thing that happened.
Genocide.
Japanese museum. what I was going to mention it. So how can we get to this play? We it already.
It's at the Sierra Madre Playhouse, which is just outside Pasadena, about
Pasadena.
20 miles outside of downtown.
Yeah.
It's a great, beautiful, quaint little town. There's a ton of great little restaurants and bars that you can go to as well. The show runs 65
already.
Minutes. runs 65 minutes, so you can it gets you in and out. Yeah, a little bit over an hour. That's a
or you go to In-N-Out.
Yeah. Well, you got to come from. You got to go to Pasadena for that. But but no, it's Sierra Madre Playhouse.org, and you can get tickets. And
it's a lovely town, Sierra Madre.
Oh, yes, it's so strange, like a small town in the middle of Los Angeles, and it's just this breath of fresh air there, right behind the mountains.
I think they also have the wisteria festival there. They have this gigantic wisteria vine that goes through like four people's backyards. And you buy the property, you have to sign an agreement that you don't cut down the wisteria. Because they have, like, in the spring, they have a big wisteria festival.
Yeah, there's a wisteria. Yeah, there's a restaurant called Wisteria, and the theater used to also be called the Wisteria.
One of the best theater,
East West Players.
Downtown.
Yeah, East West Players. And so Tim Dang, the director, is the emeritus artistic director of East West Players, and this is his first production outside of
I'm
going to
be there tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay.
In fact, tomorrow starts in the Japanese calendar, the winter time.
Yes.
They have a ceremony downtown L.A.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it or heard about it, they have a winter festival, and they have the mochi.
They pound mochi.
Oh my gosh.
That's a workout. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And that's a risk, too, because there's one guy who has to jump in with his hands while three guys hammer, and then at the rhythm, in this really specific rhythm, he goes in and flips it. So you imagine, boom, 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 flip really quick.
Stuff.
You
got to
trust
your
friends.
Where is this taking place,
downtown
Cameron?
LA,
where?
Down in Little Tokyo.
Where in Little Tokyo?
It's like the center.
In the little village area?
In the village area.
In the village, okay.
In fact, what they're doing in Gardenia, they're building like a little Tokyo.
Mm. Oh, how nice.
Gardenia. But so the play is, when does it start?
The play opens January 19th, and it runs
birthday.
Through March 4th. Yes,
my birthday.
Great way to sell
it. Tickets.
Yeah. It's funny. There's lots of great hula dancing. It's also going to tell you a history. And we'll tell you through the perspective of children, which I think will really
An interesting point of view.
You know what? Mm-hmm. What you're the play should be on film.
It would be wonderful.
It should be on film.
Yes. Well,
it's like when I saw Seeking Valentina, I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I said Seeking Valentina too, because I think it would be an interesting, movie. Yours thing would be great because people don't know.
I think people don't know, and also they don't. I think Pidgin English is something, it's such a different perspective, and it's such a, when you hear another language, when you hear a film in Italian, or you hear a film from the south of the United States, or in French, there's a different attitude.
Right.
And that same actor who did it in French, who maybe is bilingual, does it in English, a different attitude.
Right.
And Pidgin English has a very specific attitude. And just for me, you hear Pidgin English and you just have this smile on your face.
Yeah, because it's
a different
world.
It's fun. It's very fun and very lively.
Did you say how we get tickets?
Yes, SierraMadrePlayhouse.org. And it opens January 19th, and we hope to see you there.
I tell the guests.
It runs through March 4th, January 19th through March 4th.
Fabulous.
You get your tickets now. Thank you.
Wonderful play, and please go to Little Tokyo because they have the New Year's. I'm going to go there tomorrow.
I may have to set aside some time tomorrow to do that and then go to the play.
Absolutely.
Hey.
And just see. And I know you can't see us, but Kurt just has this bright, beautiful face. I mean, there's a star quality here.
Very smart. A lot of smiles.
Yeah.
Smile for dial.
Fabulous energy.
Smile for radio, right?
Anyway,
so we see the play. And
thank you all very much.
I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you guys having
Phil
me.
Sokolov. Phil Sokolov. Thank you. Now, we're going to get in the world of someone who I just got to know through Vita. And what was really interesting was I knew you had a big career coming. Because you meet people, in L.A., you say, some make it, some don't make it. And it's funny, because in L.A., it's like, when you meet those certain people that are star quality, it's very few and far between. And what I was going to say is that, we're going to talk about one. By the way, they should have more things about you on Wikipedia. I was just going to write them a letter, But anyway, We were talking.
I'm blushing now, Cameron. You've
I'm
got
telling you,
me
I'm
blushing.
Here, I'm here to make you blush.
Good.
It's
I need
blush
it.
Blush radio. Anyway, you got to see. We got to get your name. Get your name out.
I'm Kristen West.
Kristen West.
Yay, Kristen.
And I'm really excited to be here with Cameron. And
so nice to see you.
And I'm part of the LA Talk Radio family now, too.
I know.
Yeah.
You have a show. You have a show on Wednesdays, right?
Yes, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific on What Women Want Talk Radio with Judy Goss. And we talk about women's issues and concerns, and we're... Men can be on the show, too. We like men.
Well, I try. Hey, I try.
But we have a bunch of different people on sometimes.
Could you call live?
We're having some issues with live.
See? I try to call live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're having some issues with live. I'm sure that's going to get fixed in the new year because we
we'll
love
pray.
Live.
Pray God.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We love live, but we talk to business owner, female business owners.
That's
we
nice.
Have readings online. Mm-hmm. We've had Emmy-winning actors and actresses and celebrity and pop culture. So we're the whole gamut of whatever a woman would want.
And also with the wonderful Harvey Weinstein, you probably had a lot of interest because of what goes on in the entertainment industry or whatever it may be.
Goes on the whole planet.
Well, what I learned from doing the show is... Obviously, Harvey Weinstein, the Me Too movement, that's what's making the headlines. But above and beyond that, women of every career sector experience this in some way. You know, the unfortunate truth is that there's, you know, a woman at McDonald's right now or some other fast food chain working with a male supervisor who's probably getting harassed.
Right.
You know, but whenever there's an imbalance of power, that thing can happen, and that's the unfortunate thing.
Well, men have been told for thousands of years that they were superior based on false science, the belief that only men created human life, women had nothing to do with creating human life. This was even taught in the medical schools for years until the last century, where somebody discovered we had eggs, and we actually did all the heavy lifting. But still, they still didn't want to. You know, they don't want to give up power. Nobody does, and you know, when they get a hold of it in that kind of way. But it's also the entitlement that the religions, the patriarchal religions, you're entitled to use the women. You're entitled to whatever you want to do,
right.
And in our country, it's the adolescent male behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big market. Adolescent males are a big market. They contribute lots of money. And nobody wants to grow up. I keep blaming this on that on the TV, on the play Peter Pan.
I won't grow up.
Mm-hmm. I really think that kind of did something in some boys and women's heads, too, in this country.
You're singing my song because 18 to 35-year-old males, especially white males, are that, like you said.
The testosterone burst. They have too much testosterone delusions.
That's the coveted demographic, but when you actually break down numbers and look at how households and this economy works, women make so many purchasing decisions day to day.
Women do like 3/4 of the physical labor on the planet. That came out of the UN years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I love my men. This is Cassandra Elliott out there.
Yeah.
I like men a lot. That's why I had to take a vow of chastity, because I was liking men much too much. So anyway, but this kind of self-indulgent behavior's got to stop. It just causes too much uncomfortableness.
Right.
And men are not, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. You men have gotten gypped by the patriarchy because you're not getting the love. You're not being able to accept the love. If they tell you women are inferior, how do you take that inferior love into your heart and have it feed you? So I have always contended men have been victimized by the patriarchy.
But also someone in the media, I can tell you, you don't know where to approach someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially for an interview. Because I know recently I've stopped, you know, even when people give you a handshake, you have to remember because... certain handshakes could lead to other activities. So it was really funny. They had on
They dragged the finger over
no,
your
no,
palm.
No, NBC News, they had on...
had some guys do that
on,
today.
They had on Katie Couric. And Katie Couric says, how do you, you know, when you want to meet a woman, you want a handshake, how do you do it? And the men that were handshake didn't want to go by because of what's going on now. Because... what's happening, and it's funny because when I was younger, handshake was a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not. It's a whole different thing. Anyway, so go on with the life of...
Well,
Kristen West.
Well, like you mentioned, Seeking Valentina just finished its film
festival.
Just finished its film festival run. Our last film festival was Hollywood Dreams in Las Vegas. And it's won numerous awards and been to film festivals all over the world. It played in Myanmar. It played in India. It played in Europe. It played all over.
Was it in Iran?
As far as we know, it never made it to Iran.
Yeah, Iran, they're not ready for it.
They're
not ready for it.
But you know what? The culture there is changing. We made that film.
Hopefully.
Part of the culture is changing.
The protests. The youth.
The protests
are
good.
But those are the intelligent people that have always... They've had more of an advanced thinking.
Right.
The rest of the people that are, undereducated or uneducated, they're going along because it's the lazy man's way to self-esteem. My religion is the better religion, therefore I am going to stay true to everything that the minister, Ayatollah, whatever it says, because that makes me better than you.
Well,
and so that's the thing.
In a Persian, because I've dealt with
Persians are very intelligent
people in my life. I get invited to to be the New Year's soon. A Persian New Year's soon. But what you find in the Persian community is there's a class issue.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, the religious people, the Jews versus the Baha'i versus the Muslims versus the ancient religion of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
Zoroastrians.
Have all mixed.
Well, it's a much, I think, in particular in our discourse with Iran, and I wish Armin Nasseri were here because he could speak to it. So much
wonderful.
More than me, because he's lived it and walked it as an Iranian American.
Right.
Is that you have a very complicated diplomatic situation. You have a very complicated and sophisticated people in a sort of a hot button cauldron of politics.
Right.
And what I was mentioning before is that we finished the film when the Iran deal was just being, certified. Yeah,
the Obama deal.
And now the politics sort of shapes how people see it, and sometimes not. But what's interesting is that when we took this to a more WASPy, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant audience, they didn't notice that the cast was majority Persian-American. They were just invested in a great story, which I think is a tribute to Armin's work. And the work of our cast, Vita, of course, was in
Vita
cast, too.
Gafardi.
Yes.
She was ex-co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing is, what you're finding is that people are accepting people on their acting ability, which is great. That's a good thing. Now, tell us about your show.
Well, like I said, What Women Want, it's on Wednesday, 6 p.m. here at LA Talk Radio, Channel 1. And we interview all sorts of people. We had Jenna Wolf from the Today Show on.
Oh, Jenna. Nice.
We had Alexandra Wilkes Wilson, mm-hmm. who has had unicorn IPOs. Those are IPOs worth $1 billion or more dollars. We had
They call them unicorn.
They call them unicorn because they're rare.
They're so rare. Oh, okay.
They're so rare.
I like that they do things mm-hmm. like the Goldilocks zone. I like that when the astronomers do that.
We had an Emmy winner, Jane Hansen. She's, I think, won 9 Emmys, and she was part of the first female news anchor team. So we interview some fascinating people week after week. And also, we had a conference this past October in Atlanta. I got to MC that, which was really exciting.
Yay.
It's fun.
Did you go to the one in California with? They used to have the she was married to Arnold, Maria Shriver.
I would love to have Maria Shriver.
Yeah, what's going on with that conference? I heard it was very good. Then she kind of has gone away from it because she's doing her own thing. About a book, about her family,
about
the Kennedys. But she did a wonderful thing down at the LA Convention Center.
Really?
It was wonderful, and then they stopped it. But hopefully, with the new administration, things going on, and we'll have a new governor, his wife is an actress, talk about the one from San Francisco.
Gavin Newsom?
Yeah, Gavin Newsom.
Okay.
So, He's leading by 80%, so he's right. To be governor.
When's that election coming up?
Soon. Jerry Brown is 81 now.
Oh my God.
81. Yeah, oh, Governor wow. Moonbeam. But he he was you're talking about women's issues. What I see in the entertainment world is, you know, like Katie Couric not getting steady work. The gal that took over for Katie Couric, what's her name? She's from Fox.
Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly's having a hard time interviewing.
Interviewing is hard. I think one of the things that especially if you come from a culture, and I have not watched Megyn Kelly's show. I didn't watch her when she was on Fox. Haven't watched her
new show.
Sure,
I can tell you.
Yeah.
Well, but if you if your audience has certain expectations of you,
right,
and then they're not met when you go to a new place, I can imagine that would be difficult.
Yeah.
Whatever side of the political spectrum you may or may not be.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, the problem with Megyn Kelly's show is why it's not working, because she's not sensitive. The people that she interviews. If you interview, it's here.
But she tries to.
She cares.
But she kind of acts like she's being sensitive.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kind of.
People. You know,
well, I think it goes back to empathy. What you were talking about, empathy, is that's something that we in the culture miss. And it's very easy when you're glued to a screen.
Right.
Or you have this agenda that you're pushing so much that you don't have that empathy, and that has to be learned experientially. It's not something you read in a book.
Right.
You know,
it's... and that's something parents are supposed to be teaching their small children.
And that's
they need
thing.
To learn this before they're six.
Yeah, well, society has changed a lot. I know, as I'm approaching the age I am, that...
You just turned 18, right?
Yeah, 18 years old. There you go. But you know what's funny? When you first get in your journalism and you rise up, you find out how the world is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that the world is going through a metamorphosis.
Yeah, change. It's time. We're moving.
Change.
We're moving into the age of Aquarius, full blown
age
now.
We're
out of the transition period.
But you know what? It's interesting. I was going to talk about my UFO part.
Oh.
By the way, are people waiting?
Is there anybody?
Let's bring them on. There are a couple, I think people waiting.
I don't know.
Tell
them
my show that people wait.
Of
bring
course. Of course, no, there's a line outside the door. I remember that was my first experience with you.
They want to go to Bob's Big Boy afterwards. That's what it is.
Oh, there you go.
Well, here's interesting. I was, when I covered these award shows, you see the talent with Hollywood, what the new talent is. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. Oh, that's Isaac. Oh, the singer. You see the singer? Okay. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
We got a surprise guest.
Oh, hi.
I'm Vitaly.
Are you British?
No, I'm Ukrainian-Canadian.
Oh.
Ukrainian-Canadian.
Yeah, but I think
take this guy to a bar and get him something sweet. No, I'm just kidding.
But I speak all types of English, I believe.
Are you an actor?
Not really. I'm a contractor in media businesses, right? So.
Okay. All right.
I look like actor. Because, no, I did some acting job, too.
Do you?
Just like
what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life, as they say in most
TV commercials? Probably am. So I'm actor in TV commercials.
So he's an actor.
Yeah, probably am.
See, we have the act.
See, you've got the perfume commercial look.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
you've
he does.
It. You've got it. You've got that beautiful.
Well, I've had the interview with the Miss California last week.
Okay.
And she said the same.
Put on your headset.
Yeah.
Now, what's your name?
Vitaly.
Vitaly.
Yeah.
Vitaly.
Exactly.
And then how do people find you, Vitaly?
Well, I mean, usually they don't. Why they should find me, right?
Well, don't you need them to find you for something?
Well,
what do you do?
Well, there is the whole huge system how to find people you want them to work in your projects, right?
And oh, for your projects, for projects, yes.
Yeah,
so they know. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I mean, for example, there is like there's a hotel agent, right? So if somebody wants to work with me, like
okay.
They try to find me through talent agent or like people,
okay.
friends of friends, and like let's say, I have probably there is no such a company who doesn't know me.
Oh well, that's good to know.
So just call
a company and ask for Vitaly.
In my industry, so I can be like people who say knows you is like maybe like a word of a mouth. Like,
he's got
like
a mix
friends
you
of friends.
You know your English is mixed up.
He's got a wonderful accent.
Yeah, he does. I think
the story behind the English, because I'm Ukrainian, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I was 23, 24. I arrived to Montreal. It's a French province of Canada. But my team, with AAA team, had more than 25 nationalities. Everybody speaks different types of English.
Right.
So because each of them was, let's say, from wherever, like, you know, London, Britain, Canada, US,
right,
even European countries, but the English was the only language to speak, right? Uh-huh. And that's why, like, after, like, a few months, probably I understood, realized, and picked up, like, right, there is no such English I don't understand, right?
Oh, that's good.
We're in Canada. Where are you from?
Well, I live in Toronto. I live in Toronto. Yeah. Toronto is the best city in Canada, I believe.
Toronto, that's what I've heard also.
See, we get
Montreal.
We get
you have to speak there. French in Montreal, but otherwise they get upset.
No, I mean, yeah, that was my one of my main goals before moving out from Montreal. I must speak French, and I was like, probably the best to start a new language. To have a French girlfriend, right?
Right.
But I had a Ukrainian girlfriend, so I speak very good English.
She's a Ukrainian girlfriend. Yeah. Okay.
But you know what? I bet you speak the language of love. Is what you really
speak.
Yeah,
exactly.
With those blue eyes of his.
You
oh,
bought
yes.
It. You
yes.
Bought it.
And this kind of it looks like so, a Abercrombie Finch ad is sitting right
let me
next
ask you a question,
to me.
Anne, this is something for your career. Would you like to do serious acting? Would you like to comedic? What would you like to do?
Yeah, so I mean, that's like media. Media is the only kind of.
Well, we're all media. It's
exactly.
All
media
right?
is the only thing which makes things more and more interesting, beautiful, and attractive. That's why, like, it's impossible.
You know what the best way?
Not to be
watch
part
a
of
lot
media,
of TV.
Right? Huh?
A lot of American TV, and just that's the best way to learn English. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's what every foreigner must do: watch TV and try to repeat after main character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I remember I was in Romania, like in 2007, and like they pick up language from movies, and then you can guess from which movie they took the accent. Everything. Like, this is the only source of English.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. So he's an expert on your English. All you need is just practice. Get a language coach. Get a coach. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you'll be fine. Then we take 15% of his
Right.
Yeah. And even English speaking people have to in the arts have to have their English cleaned up. I had to have a little bit of accent reduction.
Well, yes.
So last because I'm every like 6 months, once like half a year, I'm trying to read the book I'm interested in. Like say, but I stop myself. Don't read anymore because you need to waste your time on other stuff. Plus, this knowledge must you accommodate, right? So I just finished 400 pages of the most advanced book in fashion.
Right.
Okay.
Law. And I think so now, like, my vocabulary has, like, the most interesting terms for, like, all, like, you know, like, variations of sentences you can never get if you don't work in the art and fashion industry. So it's interesting.
Yeah, because they all have their own language.
Of course.
Because I was 32 years in the fashion industry before I went into teaching, and there was a different language there also, And legal language is different.
Well, he's got the look for L.A.
Yeah.
Have you been offering you... other than commercials, roles for the Kitchon, you go on screen. Have you been getting those?
For now, because I mean, was for a long time in the technology business, and the screen is more like a trailer or advertisement of the business itself or the products or the.
Well, I'm saying is because you can get your. You remember it's SAG,
right? Your SAG Cap eligibility,
Hartley.
Yeah.
Cap Hartley.
So I believe so. Like tomorrow, in Toronto, we'll launch a huge fundraising campaign for the latest technology in clouds, and we want to be commercial, but purely for investors. So I think this commercial will raise like more than $10 million. It will be one of the most expensive commercials ever. I will be the only character.
Is that now?
Good for you.
Congratulations.
Is this McDonald's locally?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
So it's like, the point is like...
Over 24 hours.
Probably is the best commercial I've ever seen for myself, right? For my own company.
Well, anyway, give out your name to the folks and go slowly. Go ahead.
Say again?
So when they hear you, they're going to watch you on anything you do. Give your name out, so we're going to...
So my name is Vitaly Blazeyev.
Okay, there and you go.
Yes.
So wait for him. This is going to be your big year.
For sure, because I finally moved to California, and so last 3 months, so I spent 3 months with the Gap Fashion Inc. headquarters. It's like a company who owns 5 brands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I work in the global headquarters of Gap in San Francisco.
Right.
And I was like, I've seen this guy somewhere in the movie. Because like, and there was a guy, Future, singer on Future. I was like, and the Future is here.
there you go.
That was very funny. Yeah, that was very funny. Because it's a fashion industry, and it's extremely interesting, totally other place to work at. And that's the benefit of technology. With technology, you can work in any different industry. And
anyway,
including movies.
We gotta go, but thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Give my handshake. Oh, I got a real handshake. Yeah, anyway,
I'm Ukrainian.
Anyway,
it's mandatory.
We got Kristen Wes. Thank you, Kristen Wes.
Thank you.
And good luck to you on your show. We love you. We'll have you back.
Yes.
When we
thank
get
you,
our,
guys.
We get
ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
And then thank you very much for coming on. And then we always thank Cassandra Elliott. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always
thank
a pleasure.
Everyone from around the people I've been meeting, listening to our show. And we hope this year our show to be all over travel. So anyway, thank you very much, people in Los Angeles, and have a great 2018.
Exactly. Be safe.
That's it. There we go. A little dance.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.